Okay, Chevra, we're learning Simin Sadites Masif. Hey, we've been talking a lot about Ein Mevatlin Israel Chatzchila. It happened, someone just got me this past week this Sefer Shiras Hayam, which is a nice organization of many of the Yerideos. So I guess I just used it today for the first time. So I got some Hana'ah from that. But in terms of the dealing with Ein Mevatlin Israel Chatzchila, so we know that there's a distinction in Shulchan Aruch between Shogeg and Mezid. If I'm Mevatlin with Shogeg, it's okay. If I'm Mevatlin with Mezid, it's going to be a problem. The Taz in Sifkat and Zayin tells us a Yesod that if you are Omer Mutter, let's say you assume that it's permitted to be Mevatlin and Israel Chatzchila, so Omer Mutter, according to the Taz, is considered Shogeg. Taya Bedin is considered Shogeg. Omer Mutter is considered being Mevatel B'Shogeg. The Aruch HaShulchan in Os Chaf Gimel, the Aruch HaShulchan says, I don't think the Taz is correct. And he brings a Raya, two Rayas. One Raya, three Rayas. One Raya, you have to keep on crossing out the notes, as I say. Right? He brings three Rayas. One Raya is that in the major source of Ein Mevatlin Israel Chatzchila, that's the Mishnah in Trumas in Perek Hey. So over there, the Rambam writes in the Perish HaMishnah that Omer Mutter is taki considered Mezer. And the Gemara at the beginning of Makos seems to have a machlokas regarding Omer Mutter, but the consensus of the poskim is that Omer Mutter is considered a mezid. And moreover, and this seems to be the Iker Raya, the Raya that the Pisrei Tshuva over here, Sivkatin Hey, shtels on, and the Aruch HaShulchan and Oischav Gimel shtel on this Raya as well. There's a din of Meinekes Chaveiro. Meinekes Chaveiro means I'm not allowed to marry a woman who's nursing a baby that is not my own baby. Meinekes Chaveiro. So we distinguish in terms of if you got married between Shogeg and Mezid. And over there, the poskim say that if you are Ta'av Din, you're considered a Mezid. You're not considered a Shogeg. And we have another situation that comes up, which is marrying Eishes Chomiv. If you marry Eishes Chomiv, your father-in-law's wife, who's not your mother-in-law, your father-in-law's wife, so B'Kahai Gavna also, the Shulchan Aruch makes a chalok between Shogeg and Mezid, and over there we say that if it is Omer Mutter, you're considered a Mezid. Not only is Omer Mutter considered a Mezid over there, but that's the case in the Tzemach Tzedek. But even in a case where you think it's mutter because you got a psak, but the psak that you got was from, pardon the expression, the regular wayu musmach, as opposed to one of the morei hora'ah hamefor samim, that is still considered a mezid. That's not considered a shogeg. So we have over here a number, the Aruch HaShulchan disagrees with halacha with the psak of the Taz. The Pisrei Tshuva quotes the different shitos. You get the impression also that he is quoting that you can disagree with the Taz lahalacha, and we're going to assume that Omer Mutter is dino kemezid. Now, in the Badei HaShulchan, he wants to defend the Taz. The Taz who says that Omer Mutter is considered a shogeg, in the Badei HaShulchan, the Badei HaShulchan page Ayin Ches. The Badei HaShulchan says that there's a chiluk between Isurim of Nisuin and other Isurim. By an Isur of marriage, he tainas, the din is that the woman is fundamentally Usur. The Shaila is, do we paskin that you have to get divorced? So over there I'm going to say that if you're Omer Mutter, we still will paskin that you have to get divorced. But over here it's a different part. Over here, the shayla of whether I'm allowed to be mevatel on Isser, The shaila is whether I think it's permitted to be mevatel the iser or not. Am I trying to do a maisa aveira of being mevatel an iser? I'm not trying to do a maisa aveira of being mevatel the iser. So in our case, we could say that omer mutter is dino kishogeg. That's what the Badei HaShulchan says. In other words, the Badei HaShulchan is arguing that the case in the Tzemach Tzedek, the case in the Tshuvas Beis Yaakov, the case, the Ikar Rai of the Aruch HaShulchan, those are all Isurim of marriage. By Isurim of marriage, so of course I did an Aveira. The only Shaila is it a severe enough Aveira that we force you to get divorced? So over there I'll say that Omer Mutter is Dinai Kemezit, that you shouldn't have gotten married. But in the case over here, says the Badei HaShulchan, where the shaila is, did I do an Aveira or did I not do an Aveira? And if I did an Aveira, so then the food is Aser. But if I didn't do an Aveira, the food is going to be Mutter. In other words, if I did an Aveira B'Shoigig, that's called, like, I didn't realize I'm doing an Aveira. So in this case, we're going to say that Omer Mutter is Dino Kishogeg, and therefore he argues that we could follow the Taz. In our dear beloved friend, the Gilas Sefer, however, on page Kuf Lamed Daled, he says a Svara sort of in the opposite way. If you remember last time we learned, we mentioned that there's a Yiddish word that has no English equivalent, even though some of the less educated among us feel that the word is English itself, and that's the word finagle, right? And we pointed out that if the nature of the din of being mevatel on Isser L'chatchila is that I'm trying to finagle, what does finagle mean? Finagle means that I have something that I know is Osir. And I'm trying to face, you know, to dray around to make it mutter. So in that situation, we could taina that because I'm finagling, even if it's Aymer mutter, I'm still finagling. I'm still trying to get rid of something that I know is Isser. Shogeg is entirely different. Shogeg is the pshat, maybe, that I did not know that the Isser fell in. It just plopped. Right? If it just plopped, so in that case, I didn't really do anything. So in that case, we're going to say it is permitted. In other words, the Badei HaShulchan and the Megillah Sefer both say that yesh l'chalek, between the cases of Menekes Chaveiro, etc., and our case, but they're going in two opposite directions based on the Svara of Eim of Atmanis L'Chatchila. The Badei HaShulchan is assuming that the din of Eim of Atmanis L'Chatchila is because I violated an Aveira. Right? Very similar to what we wanted to suggest in Hilchos Shabbos, that the din of Mevashel B'Shabbos is I violated an Aveira. Right? That's why I show Giga Mezid, etc. However, right, by Menekes Chaveira, it's not because I violated an Aveira, it's a different din in terms of whether I get divorced. That's the Badei HaShulchan's approach. The Megillah Sefer is also making a chiluk between the case of Menekes Chaveira in this case, but he's saying in this case, it's not because you did an Aveira, in this case the pshat is because you're finagling, and therefore in Aimer Mutter, you're also kind of finagling. So that's the first ta'ara we wanted to make today in terms of the status of Omer Mutter. Next ta'ara, the Taz in Os Yud. Right, we paskin that the din of Mevato Iser Lechatchila applies even Lemish and Nisbatel Beshvilo. No? But the Taz argues in Os Yud that Lemish and Nisbatel Beshvilo, he quotes in the Maharshal, that's only going to be usher if you know they're being mevatalit for you. But if you don't know that they're being mevatalit for you, so then the Taz quotes in the Maharshal that you could be megal. No? As I say in Taz B'Shin Maharshal, Hagon Reb Kiva Eger quotes that the Rivash disagrees. The Rivash maintains that Ramishan is batel Bishvilo applies even if someone's mevato and iser b'stam. Let's say I have no kavana whatsoever who I'm being mevato the iser for. Nonetheless, that's included in the din of lemish and nisbatel bishvilo. So says Reb Kibeger, there's a machlokas between the Taz and the Taz b'shein the Maharshal and this Reb Kibeger. In our dear beloved friend Megillah Sefer, however, he argues that there is no machlokas between them. That the Taz and Maharshal are talking about two different cases. You see, there's one scenario when I'm mevatel my own iser, and another scenario where I am being mevatel your iser. If I am mevatel my own iser, so that's when the Rivash would say, even if I have no kavana for a specific person, it's going to be usher to everybody. However, if I'm mevatel your iser, so then the Megillah Sefer understands that's when the Taz would trickle in, and the Taz would say, oh, if you don't have kavana for that person, then it's going to be permitted. In other words, I'm being mevatel my iser. The pshat is, I'm the balabayis over here. I own this cheftza of iser. So I'm trying to make it mutter, and anyone who I'm trying to make it mutter for is going to be usser, because I have some shaykhis to this item. In a case where I have no shaykhis to the item, where it is your item, so then in that case, says the Megillah Sefer, the din of Lami Shenispato Bishvilo only applies if I have specific kavana, because then you have shaychus to the item. The din of Lami Shenispato Bishvilo is basically what we would call whether you have shaychus to the item hamavutal. Ad kan divarev. This is very relevant lahalacha in certain cases, no? Let's say you want to buy food that's made by a goyish factory, and you know that there is some iser in it. Are you permitted to buy that food? So the Megillah Sefer, first of all, tainas that if it's owned by a Jew, for sure it's going to be usser. If the factory is owned by a Jew, for sure it is going to be usser. Now, what about if the factory is owned by a goy? So the factory is owned by a goy. It's only going to be usser according to this cheshbon if the goy has specific kavanah, he's being mevatel for Jews. Then we get involved in the shayla of factories when they cook stuff, when they bake stuff. Are they having it Jews in mind or not? L'cha'ura, they make a larger amount of food because they know that Jews are involved, right? It's like the shayla of the New York Times when it's printed on Shabbos, right? The Times, there is a newspaper out there, it still exists as opposed to the Weekly Standard, which has gone of a rebuttal, but because the Times is liberal, so therefore it still exists, but the Times prints extra copies for Jews, so then one could argue it's considered a mishnah nisbato b'shvilo. Although, if you have a relatively insignificant Jewish population who's buying that product, one could argue it's not true, and maybe it's going to be mutter in that case. Now, sir.
Two questions. Is it obvious that this concept of in Batman Israel Chilo applies to non-Jews?
No.
Okay. And two, the Megillah Sefer saying that if it's owned by a Jew, it's for sure usher. Is it for sure usher for the Jew to sell it?
So it says in Shulchan Aruch that it's usher l'machro l'Yisrael acher shel yehenem mimenu. If it's my item, so I can't sell it because then it's ki'in, right? That's what the Rambam writes, and I'm getting hanah from it. However, as the Shach points out, that I'm only getting hanah from it if I get more money because the guy could end up eating it. If it's an item that I'd get the same amount of money, whether the guy just gets hanah from it without eating it, whether the guy is going to eat it, so then b'kahai gam, that does not apply.
But as a consumer, even if it was the case that they got more money from me eating it, as a consumer, does that matter to me? Meaning, is there a concept of cholesterol or anything like that? Like, therefore, I shouldn't enable it? Or
I mean, I think the sfera that we're dealing with is whether it's considered a mishnah nisbato b'shvilai. Right? In other words, the Isser Mechir is on the Yid. The Yid is not allowed to sell it. Over here, let's say it's a Goyisha factory, and the Goyisha factory has Goyim who are doing the Bitul Isser. So, what's the din in that case? So, we already spoke about if a Goy does the Bitul Isser, Letzorech Achola, or something, we already discussed that maybe we could argue that if the din of Emvat Nesvel Chatzchir is a din d'Rabbanan, maybe it could be Mekel Letzorech Achola, right? That was the third nafkamina, whether it's the Raisa or the Rabbanan. But on a more fundamental level, if a goy is mevatel an iser, what's the nature of this din? What's the halacha? So the Reb Fivel Cohen on page Pei Beis, Reb Fivel points out that he points this is on page Pei Aleph. He quotes that he thinks it's a machlokas between the Radvaz and the Rashbash. That the Radvaz says, b'mikrish a bitlo nachri. For example, a goy sees that some chazar falls in the Jew's path. And the goy knows that the Jew is kashrus observant. And the goy says, alamden, that he knows that's going to be batel b'shishim. And the goy then goes and pours extra water in the pot after the chazar fell in the pot. So what happens in that case? So in that case, the Radvaz says it's going to be mutter. It's only going to be also according to the Radvaz if the Jew tells the goy, "I want you to be mevatel the iser." If the Jew walks into the kitchen and sees a chazar fell in the pot, and the Jew says, "Kuliyo, machshnel, pour water in the pot, be mevatel et b'shishim," so then it's usher according to the Radvaz. Short of that, it's not usher. The tshuva of the Rashbash is quoted in the Badi HaShulchan, page 81. Rashbash makes an absolute dimyan to Hilcha Shabbos, and Hilcha Shabbos and Simin Shun Chof Hei, we paskin that let's say the goy does something for me, even though I was not mitzava the goy to do it, it's still called Amir al Anachri, no? People make this mistake all the time, no? You have a cleaning lady. And the cleaning lady is doing stuff for you because the cleaning lady knows you can't do it because she knows it's Shabbos, right? Isn't this like Maisim B'chol Yom? So, according to the halacha in Orechayim Shin Chaf Hei, that's considered the Isser of Amir al-Nachri. Because since the guy is definitely doing it for me, again, in a ofen that there's no heter of Amir al-Nachri, there's no tzarech mitzvah, whatever, that's called Aser. It's Aser probably the second type of Iser. There's like two maslulim, there's two tracks within Amir al-Nachri. One is the Iser to derive Hanoah mim melachas Nachri, and the other is the Iser Tzivui. But L'chol HaPachos and Hilcha Shabbos, we have the second maslul, that if a goy does something for me, it's going to be usher to derive benefit from it, because that's considered Amira L'Nachri. Comes along the Rashbash, and the Rashbash says, Hu Hadin, in terms of Ein Mevat L'Nisr L'Chatzchil, if the goy does it for me, it's going to be a problem. But the Radvaz assumes, if the goy does it for me, it is... It's not a problem. If the guy does it for me, it is going to be okay. Yes, sir?
Including a case, or not in the cases where the Jew actually like asks the non-Jew to do it, but I assume like the whole issue of the non-Jew being about to tell something, okay, presumably in a case where they don't like know where Bittel is, so, like they're not clearly being attached or whatever, because they don't think this Bittel's a real thing, so I assume only the people who think the reasons are... for Bittel being usher would like have...
Right. I mean, in other words, I'm talking about a case that the goy has been around Yidden for a very long time, and the goy knows that by adding water, the Jew is going to be able to use it, right? So is that considered b'mishan nisbatel b'shvilay, right? So maybe it's totally the machlokes between the Taz and Reb Kiva Eger, maybe it's about Omer Mutter, because the goy Zifer thinks it's mutter, perhaps, although what we suggested is that there's a difference between whether you own the product or the guy owns the... We suggested... Yeah.
Okay.
Right? So, again, there's a lot of things to be mefalpel, but I'm just giving you the maramakom here in on page Pei Aleph in the Badi HaShulchan. Eli Natan, you had a comment?
I was going to say that, it's not the... Is there Amir
The second part of Amir al-Nachri, right? And again, for the second part of Amir al-Nachri, so then, you know, we have, whatever, the Mishnayos and the Gemaras clearly note that there are two different types of Amir al-Nachri, Anachanami. So Reb Fivel Cohen paskins that the Radvaz is correct, right? This is worth $1 million, gentlemen. This is a kula in the Badi HaShulchan. Right. The Badi HaShulchan paskins that the Radvaz is correct, that unless the Jew is mitzvah specifically, there is going to be no iser of eimavat when iser l'chatchila, when the goy does it for the Jew. There's no iser of eimavat when iser l'chatchila, and he brings a raya from the din in Yevideya in Simin Kuf Yudalid Se'if Vav. In Kuf Yudalid Se'if Vav, it says in Shulchan Aruch that if the goyim make particular drinks, there's a discussion about like pomegranate juice and beer and stuff. So the concern is whether there are shimrei yayin that are put in it. Right? Do they have like some wine sediment in the juice? If the minhag hamedina is that they never make pomegranate wine with shimrei yayin, then it's permitted. If they do it, then it's forbidden. Right? That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. The Rama writes that if you have shishim kenegdai, you have shishim keneged the shimrei yayin, it certainly is mutter. The Taz assumes, by the way, that you don't need shishim keneged the shimrei yayin. The Taz holds that shimrei yayin stam yenam is going to batel b'sha'ar mashkim echad b'sheish. No? The Rama says that stam yenam is batel b'sha'ar mashkim echad b'shishim. But the Taz says echad b'sheish. Now, says Reb Five Cohen, think about it. What's going on over there? The goy is adding the shimrei yayin, let's say, to the pomegranate juice. The goy knows that he is doing it letzayrich the yid. Right? He's doing it so that yidin can also buy from it. That's why he's being mevato b'shishim. And afilu hachar, we see it's mutter. L'chor, the reason why it's mutter is because the Radvaz is correct. That so long as the Jew did not give it tzivui, it's going to be permitted. This is Reb Five Cohen's raya. Now, if that's the case, so then yesh la'ayin, if we pass in l'chakor like the Radvaz, and we pass in, if we pass in l'chakor like the Radvaz, so am I allowed to give a hashgacha on the factory that's owned by goyim? I'm just going to be the Rav HaMachshir. Can I give hashgacha on a factory that's owned by goyim, where I know they include a teeny bit of chazer in the product, a tiny amount that's batel b'shishim? Does hashgacha mean that it is entirely kosher, or can maybe hashgacha mean that I'm following Shulchan Aruch that it's kosher and it's batel b'shishim, but I could read the ingredient label and there might be pig? And can I still give hashgacha on that scenario? So remember, if the Radvaz is correct, the only time when it's done ayyadei goyim that's going to be asar is when it's done ayyadei goyim but tzivu Yisrael. Over here there's no tzivu Yisrael l'chora. So says Reb Five Cohen, he feels that that's not correct. He feels that whenever I'm giving hashgacha on a product, if I put the EYS hashgacha on some food, that's my name, if I put the EYS hashgacha on some food, so it's ki'ilu, it's done b'tzivui Yisrael. That's his argument. Va'ani lo batuach baza. I'll tell you why. When I worked for the OU for one summer in my youth, a million years ago, I actually felt it was important to get some grounding in kasher. So do you want to be rabbonim, seriously. Like, spend some time, like, work over there a little bit. So I was in the OU. So the thing that was most shocking is how often the OU mashgichim go to factories. What would you guess?
Not nearly enough.
Yeshivish. Okay. So in most cases, the answer is once every 6 months. Once every year, once every 9 months, right? In other words, if I have a factory and I know that there's no Vishal Akum, the factory could be in some tiny town in China. Now the OU have Ashkichim who fly around and you never tell the company when you're coming, right? If you know when they're coming, so then it's command lesser. But the OU will check a factory once every couple of months. The cheshbon of the kashrus is that the factory signs, you could ask Rabbi Ganak if this is correct, I'm pretty sure it's correct, the factory signs a contract with the OU, we will only use the following ingredients in our factory. and following ingredients in the following places. Factories don't work in a way that, like, you run out of something, you're going to run to the next door bodega and buy an equivalent product. No, you have to get it in bulk, mass stuff. So therefore, the assumption is that will be a breach of contract if you if they use any other product. But the mashgiach comes once every whatever to just make sure that everything is okay. So is that considered done with seafood, Yisrael? Let's say you'd have, right? Let's say you'd have a company, and they would sign the contract that we're going to, if they use lard on the conveyor belt when it goes, in order to make things smoother, right? As a lubricant on the conveyor belt. You know it's going to be bottle. Everything else is okay. So, I would argue that's not done with Tzipa Yisrael. It happens that maybe it's not practical to give Hashgach in this case, because since the OU requires that every item that you bring in the factory is labeled, if you'll sign a document that says we can have lard in the factory, even though they're telling you it's only for the conveyor belt, but you don't necessarily know their recipe, no? And you don't know how much lard they're going to put in. And once you allow lard, right, so lav dafka will be batel b'shishim. But I'm just not convinced that the sevara that a hashgacha is done b'tzivui Yisrael, I'm not convinced that that's going to be a heter. I'm not convinced that that's going to be the isra. I'm not convinced that the mashgiach is ki'il telling the people what to do. Maybe that's true if you have a mashgiach the whole time. But in our world, where mashgichim come relatively infrequently, I don't know if that's a good svara.
Even just having guidelines?
Like, so again, the question is, the way it works now, I think, I'm pretty sure, is that you just sign the contract about what food is allowed into the company, but they can decide, every company can decide, if they say, we used to make this type of cookie, now we want to make a cookie a little different. And that's not considered a breach of the contract with the OU, because they're using the same ingredients, they're just going to make square cookies instead of round cookies. And they'll make the cookies green instead of black, whatever it is. Right? So that's not a breach of contract. But once you allow lard in the factory, so it's not going to be a breach of contract when they use lard. So I think that's why it's a very bad idea. One of the very poor kashrus agencies years ago, one of the senior mashgichim in the OU, a guy who there's some OU mashgichim who mamish like know everything in the world of kashrus. So in this guy, one of these guys who mamish knew everything told me that one of the problems with the triangle K is that the triangle K was packaging apple juice in a plant that they were allowed to bring clam juice into the plant itself. They had another run. And the cheshbin was that apparently clam juice is a very potent thing. It has a very sharp taste. As anyone who ever ate a clam probably knows. I have no idea. But you can't do a run of clam juice on the same bottling plant as you do a run of apple juice unless you do what is called a CIP, a cleaning in place, which is basically Haggalah, in order to get the flavor of the clam juice out. So they were mako on this. The guy who worked in kasher told me this is like a really bad idea because you're allowing clam juice in the kasher factory, and that might mean that if they could decide to finagle, and that's the word of the day, they might decide to finagle and add clam juice to some drink that's made in the factory, and then you wouldn't have the kula.
Yeah,
what?
At least you know the apple juice is fine.
So the apple juice is halachically fine unless they are...
It sounds like you would taste the clam juice.
Yeah, it could be. Right. So it could be that apple juice is fine out to that. It might just be bad policy to do that. Right? A lot of these things... Kashrus works with lawyers more than rabbis. No? Like... At least kashrus on this level. There's a difference between your kitchen and what goes on in a factory. Okay, so this is the... Do you guys have another few minutes? Can we go weiter, or you guys want a break? Can we go weiter? Fine. So I want to talk about the end of Se'if Hei, the din of Hanan, Balach, Balach, or Anat. Not a pashat din at all. The smag and the smack are quoted in the Torah that a Rav Hamore, if the Rav wants to pask in the Shaila as to whether there's bitul b'shishim, the Rav Hamore has to be choker, you have to ask, when did the liquid fall in? Did it fall in after the Isser fell, or was it always there? Right? That's what the smag and smack say. And the Torah tainas that no one does this. No one is choker and this nekuda, and you don't have to be choker. So what's the machlokas between the smag and the Torah? So the Beis Yosef argues that the machlokas is the algemeiner machlokas. What does algemeiner mean, gentlemen? Everyone besides Eli Natan? I've used the word before.
Old.
What?
Old.
Holy?
Old.
Old, no. Not bad.
Original?
Not bad. General. Algemeiner means general. Like the Algemeiner Journal is a Lubavitch newspaper, a Lubavitch Yiddish newspaper, no? So Algemeiner means general. So this is the general, the old Machlokes, maybe it's a better type of...
Classic.
Huh? Classic. Okay, this is the classic Machlokes about whether or not we say Chanan b'sha'ari surim. That the smag holds that b'sha'ari surim we say Chanan. And therefore you have to be choker. That if, let's say, the chazer fell into the pot... with meat before the other liquid fell in, so then there'll be chanan. Then you have to mevato not only the amount of chaz, you have to mevato the entire amount of the meat that was in the pot. And that's what the smag says. But the Torah holds, says the Beis Yosef, that we don't say chanan b'sha'ari surim. This is the way the Torah puts it all together. Now the Darkei Moshe quotes. The Darkei Moshe basically comments on this. Nedarke Moshe comments on this Beis Yosef. He says, one second, this is not correct. Because im kenim hadavarim, so then by Basar B'cholov, where everyone agrees we say Chanan, so then for sure you should have to be choker whether the heter fell afterwards or not. Rather, the Nedarke Moshe comes up with three different mahalachim. Mahalach number one, the Darkei Moshe comes up, is that maybe we're only going to say Chanan if it fell in B'mezid, not if it fell in B'shoigig. Now this I don't understand ki huzeh. Like, the Cha'era, Chanan is not a Knas D'Rabbonon, no? Chanan is a Din D'Oraisa. Like, maybe Chanan B'Shari Surim is a Din D'Rabbonon, but Chanan b'shari surim, if it's midrash, that's machlokes in the Maharik and Tosfos on Daf Kuf on the one hand versus all the Rishonim on the other hand, where the Chanan b'shari surim is d'orais or d'rabbonon. But if Chanan b'shari surim is d'rabbonon, it's not d'rabbonon as a knas that you shouldn't do it. It's d'rabbonon out a gezera that it appears like, right, basar b'cholov, or you'll make a mistake. If that's the case, l'cha'ora, there should be no sevara l'chaleg between d'oraisa and d'rabbonon. I should add also, since I got this new sefer, the, what's it called, the Shiras Hayom. So the Shiras Hayom in footnote 687, the Shiras Hayom points out that he thinks the Beis Yosef's pshat is impossible. Remember, the Beis Yosef says that machlokes between the smag and the tur, leisa chanan b'shari surim. He says, if you look at the smag inside, I did not have a chance to do this, look at the smag inside, he's talking about a case of basar b'cholov. So therefore, like, whoa, like the Beis Yosef's pshat is just like knocked out of the water. Even though, again, I have to look in the smag inside, the way he quotes the lashon of the smag is that a machnes a kaf chay leves v'teich kedera shal basar rosachas. So that's already chanan, not with the milk falling into the pot, it's with the spoon. That becomes a shayla. The Aruch HaShulchan assumes that whenever I'm dealing with blias, it can only be midrabanan. So maybe that's a distinction, although I don't know. So basically, the Darkei Moshe has three mahalachim. Mahalach, right? The Beis Yosef mahalach is it depends on Kanam B'Shari Surim. We have the Kasha, Ibaza, you should say that by Basa B'Cholob, for sure it's a problem, and maybe the Smak himself is talking about Basa B'Cholob. So the Darkei Moshe gives answer one, we only say Kanam B'Mezen, not B'Shogeg, we don't understand that. Darkei Moshe, answer number two, which actually makes it to the Ramo over here, is that there's a difference between Noda and Lo Noda. When you know that it fell in, so then you have to cheshbin ois that maybe the heter came after. But if it was lo noda, it doesn't matter. Meaning that the din of chanan is only formulated by noda. And once it's noda, you don't have to worry that the heter fell afterwards, once it's noda, because if it's noda, that means that you ask the shaila to the rav. Right? This is on the Darkei Moshe. Right? Noda means I know that the iser fell in. If I know the iser fell in, I'm going to run to the rav to ask the shaila, and the rav is going to paskin whether it's chanan or not chanan originally, so I don't have to be choker afterwards whether there is whether the mayim came afterwards. The Darkei Moshe's third distinction is that we only say chanan by an iser balua, we don't say chanan by lach balach. We don't say chanan by yavish b'yavish, and we don't say chanan by lach b'lach. That's the third distinction of the Darkei Moshe, and this also makes it to the big book of the Shulchan Aruch. Right? In the Shulchan Aruch, the distinction of noda versus lo noda makes sense, the distinction of lach b'lach versus yavish B'yavesh also makes it. He quotes Davki Yavesh B'yavesh Olafil Lach B'Lach L'Man Da'Amar She'ein Oymen Bo Chaticha Nasas Nevela. A few ha'aras over here. One, conceptually, to not say Chanan by Lach B'Lach is very difficult, especially because in Siman Tzadi Ches we paskind that we for sure say Chanan on the Balua Shebekeli. Remember, we had a machlokes, Shach and Taz, whether it's even conceivable to speak about Chanan on the Guf HaKeli. But the Balua Shebekeli, for sure, there is Chanan. Now think about it. Why would there be no Chanan by Lach Balach? L'chore, the svara is Dei Pshuta. The svara is, it's not a Chaticha. Chanan means Chaticha Nasas Nevela, that the Isser is captured, it's right in this, and therefore the Isser, we pass in this item, is Usser, and therefore you can't be Matir, the amount of iser that fell into it, because the whole item became usser. But by lach, it diffuses. If it diffuses, ken zayin, right? I can't say it's a chaticha. Similarly, by balua shebekeli, right? I shouldn't be able to say chanan, because, but by balua shebekeli, also it's not a chaticha. Yet we pass, you know, there is chanan by balua shebekeli. If there is chanan by balua shebekeli, so then, right? How can be there's no chanan on lach b'lach? Maran Hagridas, we call him the Rav, in his shiurim tries to answer this kasha. Ani lo hevanti mashakasa. The kasha feshteich zayigut, right? Aber the teres feshteich nisht. I don't understand the answer that the Rav tries to give, but at least l'chol ha'pachos, he is bothered by the kasha. Nosaf al kach, the shach in ois yudalid. The shach is ma'arich to show that there is no possible way of saying that there is no chanan on the davar lach. It's not shaykh. His ikar raya is that to say there is chanan on a, to say that there is no chanan on davar lach is contradicted by the famous Gemara on Daf Kuf Ches. On Daf Kuf Ches, I'm going to go over to Amit Beis. Amar Rav, Kizayis Basar Shenafal Tok Yorah Shalchav. If I have a piece of meat, right, a kizayis, and it falls into a pot of milk, Zakrav basar asar chalav mutter. Correct the Gemara. Why is the chalav mutter? We should say chalav nevelahi. The Shach Tainas, that the kasha that the Gemara is asking, that we should say, Cholav Nevelahi, is that the Cholav should be usher out Chanan. Meaning that the little bit of Cholav that was absorbed in that Basar, that Cholav became Treif out Basar B'Cholav. And then that Cholav gets shot back out into the rest of the Cholav, because in cooking you have transfer, no? So when that Treif Cholav gets shot back out into the other Cholav, it should be usher out, Cholav Nevela, Zok the Gemara, which the Shach understands to mean Chanan by language. That Lecha'ora is the Pashtus in the Gemara. And therefore the Shach says, I don't understand how Darki Moshe answer 2, the Ramah over here answer 1, how they could possibly distinguish between that, to say that there's no Chanan on Lach the Lach. And the Shach brings another Raya from the Gemara of Zara on Dav Ayin Gimel, where the Gemara speaks about a case where I have some yayin and I keep on pouring mayim into the yayin. There's like 4. Did I give this sugya to any of you to get into smicha? Right. So the kamakama bato issue we're going to talk about very soon. Yeah. But it's in the same sugya that the mayim falls into the yayin, or again the Gemara then later on changes and maybe it's the yayin falling into the mayim. But the yisod of that Gemara seems to be that there is chanan on liquids, and therefore the Shach totally bombs the Ramah out of the water. The Shach says you cannot rely on this Ramah at all. It's not shayich to not say chanan by liquids. Okay, so that's what the Shach assumes. I think lahalacha, we follow the Shach over here. So what we basically are trying to do, let me just see if I missed anything. Okay, I mean, there's another long Shach and Ois Tes Zayin that's kedai to go through in terms of the din of Noida HaTaroves or not. Let's just hold on that. I'm not sure if I'm going to want to go in. No, Tesvav, I'm sorry. Not sure I'm going to want to go into that further. I want to, in Yerzah Hashem, tomorrow begin Eimivat Manasur Chatzchilo by Dinam Drabalan. That's what I'd like to go into tomorrow. And we should have a good day, Chevra. Shkoyach.